Let's continue with yesterday's agenda. Agenda paper 11, dealing with the repayment of investment and the currency translation account. Jan, you want to introduce this for us?
Yes, thank you, Bob. At the March meeting, the committee began preliminary discussions on an issue in IS 21, which relates to the separate foreign currency equity reserve, which relates to retranslation of the net assets of investor investments in a subsidiary, which is often referred to as CTA, and when that should be recycled. The submission request that the board address this as an issue in the annual improvements. And like the staff explained at the March meeting, the primary issue that I think it's being asked here is whether when should the separate foreign currency equity reserve be recycled? Should it be recycled when there's an absolute and proportional reduction in the equity ownership interest in the foreign operation, or when there's a reduction in the absolute interest? The staff has analyzed this, and in its opinion, there are two types of CTA: direct foreign exchange differences, which would be related to, for example, quasi-equity loans, and the indirect foreign exchange difference, which the staff is exploring and thinks this relates to. There are basically two views. View one, which is the proportionate reduction, and that is discussed in paragraph 12 to 14. And view two, which is the absolute reduction, which is discussed in paragraphs 15 to 19. We also note in paragraphs 20 to 23 interactions with prior decisions that the board and the IFRIC has made, which are more in line with view one. Paragraph 24 then makes the criteria assessments for the committee, and we also make assessments against the annual improvements criteria. And the staff recommendation, which is in paragraph 30 to 32, is that the committee address this as an annual improvement. The staff is supportive of view two, which is the absolute reduction. And we have included in the appendix an amendment to IS 21 for the committee's consideration.
Okay, thank you, John. So, pity you got the answer wrong. But does any member of the committee have any comments? Ross?
Yeah, I think I support the approach, but I would like to have clarification about what an absolute reduction means exactly.
The amount goes down by one currency unit.
So dividends are an absolute reduction?
If the amount goes down.
Okay. This would need to be clear and clarified. I also understand that the amendment is proposed to apply to any type of investment. That is, it applies also when you have an absolute reduction in a subsidiary's interests, despite the amendments that were made before to IS 20, the recent amendments that had been made to IS 21 to say that, you know, you don't touch to CTA reserve for subsidiaries unless you dispose of the subsidiary. That's my understanding. Thirdly, I think I disagree with what the staff has written about the loans that are considered to be a net interest, net investment in a sub, and say that they are tracked and separately accounted for, and when you have a repayment of a loan, you recycle. For me, I always had considered the whole thing together. So I think this needs to be made clearer, not just in a, buried in a stack note. And fourth comment, the proposed amendment does not contemplate any transitional provisions for prospective application. So do we want to have this statement as from forever or as from certain dates only? I would suggest some transitional provisions to apply, say, since the revisions to IS 27 have applied. If we go for retrospective, just cite with the revisions to IS 27 and IS
29. I think the way it's worded, it means retrospective application.
Then I would disagree.
Okay. But I take it you want clarification of a few points, but you agree with the staff recommendation of any absolute reduction, it triggers the recycling of CTA. All right, okay. Andrew?
Well, I had similar questions. I mean, if there's an absolute reduction, presumably if it's a subsidiary which you controlled and still control, there's no recycling? Is that what we're saying? Because
there is recycling.
How does that comply with where the board's gone recently on transactions involving the equity of subsidiary where there's no loss of control is an equity transaction, it's not P&L, and also paragraph 48C of the standard says you reattribute. Doesn't paragraph 48C of the standard tell you not to recycle on a partial disposal of a subsidiary? Maybe I'm reading it wrongly, but I just didn't see how what we were proposing in the context of subsidiaries was in line with transactions where there's no loss of control or indeed paragraph 48C, but I'm happy to be told otherwise.
But again, Andrew, are you saying that you agree with the staff conclusion that any absolute reduction should be recycled?
Not really until I get clarity on that point.
Luca?
I agree with the staff recommendation. I have, Lorenzo, some elements in the wording, absolutely. It's clear in English, but I don't know if it's absolutely clear when it will be translated. For instance, in Italian, it could sound a little bit difficult to interpret it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's possible, I would like to have something in the business book conclusion just to express better. Also, a simple example, just to say, a reduction of even one currency unit represents what we mean by an absolute reduction, even though this come out from dividends or whatever. Just to be more clear, this conclusion could help.
Okay. Ruth?
Yeah, I had all of the same points that Laurence and Andrew had. I was particularly concerned about not distinguishing between subsidiaries and other entities such as subsidiaries and associates and joint ventures, and I actually thought that the treatment of loss of control of a subsidiary gives a different answer from what the staff came up with. And for that reason, I don't support the staff's recommendation because I don't think it's explored these other issues, and I would like to see them further explored before agreeing or not agreeing with it. I don't think the paper's gone into depth on all of those issues that have been raised. So I'm not in a position to agree or disagree at this point. I think there's more work to be done.
Okay. Guido?
Well, I had the same problem with 48D, but in addition to what has been raised already, I'm concerned that we are now saying a partial disposal is any absolute reduction. So we say a proportionate reduction is not a partial disposal. That was raised at the beginning in the paper where we said, well, there might be situations where you have only a proportionate reduction or only an absolute reduction. And I don't know what the answer is to something where only a proportionate reduction, where there's a capital increase and I'm not taking part in this capital increase. We don't answer that question, but it seems that in 48D we say, well, this proportionate reduction, only a proportionate reduction, is not a partial disposal, which I think, I don't know what the answer to that, but it has not been discussed. Then,
sorry, Peter, just on that, why would you think that there should be some recycling if there's been a proportionate reduction, when under the staff recommendation it's only an absolute. So if there has been no reduction in the carrying amount of your investment, why would you want to recycle something under the staff proposal?
Well, I think the staff doesn't address this issue, but in 48D seems to read that this only proportionate reduction is not a partial disposal, which I think is not the right answer, but I mean it has not been discussed in the paper. I think there are some arguments for only proportionate reductions to also reclassify part of the CTA, but you know, I don't want to dig too deep into that because that was not addressed in the paper. My proposal would be to talk about absolute reductions, whether there are disposals, yes or no, in paragraph 49, because 49 tells you what disposals are. And 49, for instance, also says that repayment of share capital might be such a disposal, which in my point of view is kind of an absolute reduction. So I would go into 49. I also have the problem that Andrew has looking at 48C, because what we are saying here is only, yes, an absolute reduction is a partial disposal, but we are not answering the question, do you recycle CTA or not? And that was the question that was asked. You could go to 48C, but I don't think that's the right answer, because 48C addresses issues where you have exchanges between controlling and non-controlling interests. That's not what we have here. We are just paying something back to the parent company. So it's not an exchange between controlling and non-controlling, and that's why I think the arguments that you should not recognize it through P&L are not relevant here, because we have a different situation as compared to 48C. But in order to make that clear, we need to give more guidance, because I can understand that people look in 48C and say, well, okay, there's no change in control. 48C tells me that I should reclassify that from controlling to non-controlling interest. So I think we need to do some more work, not simply putting something in 48D, but we didn't really answer the question that was asked.
Okay, Peggy?
Couple of things. Paragraph 10, where we talk about the two types of foreign exchange differences, direct and indirect. I don't know of any company that tracks these things separately. CTA is just one number, and I think it's just a big amorphous number, and that's why when a lot of companies adopt IFRS for the first time, they zero out CTA. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, by putting this in, I don't know if you need to have these distinctions in here, because I think that will sidetrack, it'll cause a lot of concern there. Second, with respect to your question one, in terms of view one or view two, I disagree with the staff's conclusion, and I would endorse just going with an absolute, with a proportionate view one and not view two. Third, both view one and view two are different than U.S. GAAP. And right now we're different than U.S. GAAP. So if we're trying to reach convergence with U.S. GAAP, could we have a view three, which would be don't do anything unless you have a complete withdrawal from that subsidiary?
Okay. Scott?
I liked the paper, and I thought the recommendation was the right one. I think the idea of I think the principle behind recycling CTA ought to be when the investment is no longer buried in the subsidiary, because the reason why we take these things to CTA, I think, is because there's a possibility they're permanently reinvested, and so we haven't really incurred a gain or loss at the consolidated level because the money is staying in the sub. Once we pull it out, that is now realized. We ought to recognize it. Those gains and losses are now clearly going to exist. So I think the absolute reduction is the right answer. Like Laurence, I I wasn't sure that it was going to be applied in the way we're thinking about it, so I would have included some examples somehow. I don't know if they belong in 48D or in some implementation guidance or something to say that a dividend, a repurchase of shares, those are all examples of absolute reductions, whereas something that is just a proportionate reduction, subsidiary sells new shares to a third party, that doesn't have an absolute reduction and therefore wouldn't have recycling. Just I was afraid that, although we know what this means, I wasn't sure that readers would pick up on that.
John?
I disagree with the staff's conclusion. And partly because of the decision that the board made in relation to the pre- and post-acquisition issue, because I think that they've obviously made a decision as to when CTA should be recycled whether it's recycled or got rid of. But to me, the question is, and Scott has raised it, what is the principle about CTA? Is the principle about your investment amount, or is it about your subsidiary and your disposal of your subsidiary? And I think that's the key question. If it is about the investment amount, then the staff recommendation is probably the right answer, because effectively every dollar of change in the investment amount, we're saying, well, you don't have CTA on that anymore. But I'm not convinced that that is the principle that currently goes behind a currency translation reserve, and that is certainly not the principle that the board has applied in terms of the amendment that they made in relation to the pre-ACC. So to me, and I don't know the answer, but it all comes back to what is the principle as to whether, but at the moment I disagree with the staff recommendation.
Guido, you want to come back?
Yes, just one point to Scott's view. As I said, I'm not sure that we have discussed the issue where you only proportionately dispose something that you would not recycle it. There are arguments for recycling it because you are, in essence, transferring part of these CTA to another party. But as I said, I'm not sure that we made the decision on that. So I would not say that we have decided upon whether or not we should recycle it. There's one thing that I forgot. The problem will be, I think, theoretically, it makes sense to recognize and to recycle also for only absolute reductions. But the next point then is, how do you measure this reduction? It's easy for a proportionate reduction. You could say, well, I'm selling 5%, so 5% of the CTA will be recycled. But how do I measure the part of the CTA that would be recycled for absolute reductions? Because these CTAs are tied to assets and liabilities within the subsidiary. So just to give an example, if the subsidiary is selling an asset and this asset has a CTA attached to it and the money from the sale is then given to the parent company, how do I calculate the part of the CTA that should be recycled? Do I have to track the CTA that is attached to this asset that has been sold? That's a tough question, and I think if we give the answer yes, also only absolute reductions lead to recycling of a CTA, then we need to give some guidance. How do you measure the part of CTA that is recycled?
Sean?
I think the principle is the right one. I always understood the CTA as being parking gains and losses because they remain in the subsidiary, and not too sure about the principle, but while it's there, let's park that in equity. And then the principle I understood is when you repatriate your investment, then it should flow through your income. So absolute reduction is probably the right answer. And I think it's different. The principle is different from the control, loose control, because that there's a sale. Here, I don't think we're relating to sale. I think we're relating to where your investment lies, whether you bring it back or not. So I think we need to investigate whether there is a conflict with the rules. I agree with that. My concern is practicality. It's extremely difficult to track CTA. It's extremely painful to figure out where it's coming from and where what amount you should recycle. And I'm afraid that a statement like that would mean that you have, for example, if you have dividends every quarter or every year, you need to figure out, you know, what amount of CTA you need to bring to P&L. So I think we need some practical accommodation here. And I thought there was this concept of if you have a significant withdrawal, not a dividend, a regular dividend payment, because a regular dividend payment is the subsidiary makes profit and then pays the dividend. Did you withdraw? You just the current profit that you bring home. So my point is I think we need to be realistic about limiting that to significant events. But the concept is right, but we need to be practical. That's my point.
All IFRS only apply to material items.
Well,
we're not going to keep repeating it in every standard, so you can't introduce it only applies to significant events. You either agree with the principle and the methodology or not. Whether you choose to apply it or not is whether it's material. And whether your auditors agree with that, and they accumulated in the schedule of audit differences. Scott, final word.
Just to answer Guido's concern on the measure, I would have thought we'd have gone with paragraph 48C, proportionate share of CTA. So if your investment in this entity, in this subsidiary, was 100, and you got back 10. Of that capital, then 10% of whatever the CTA number is what you'd recycle. So there, I think the only thing the entity would need to know is how much of its consolidated CTA balance relates to each foreign subsidiary, which hopefully they do, because I think they would need to know that in order to recycle the right amount when they completely dispose anyways. So I think it's probably being tracked well enough to do that. That's my guess.
But that may not answer the point that John has just made, which is that if you're declaring dividends in the current year, and for statutory purposes, legal purposes, you may be declaring them out of this current year's profits, then do you actually need to recycle anything if it's a payment from a current year's profit? Tack?
I think that CTA is one of the most difficult areas for practitioners. And actually, it is nearly impossible for us to reconcile the remaining CTA balance is correct or not. And also, I recall that the problem we raised at the when we discussed IFRIC 16, which is the net investment hedging account. And at that time, we realized that the CTA balance may be different for recycling. If we have different approach, like step-by-step approach or direct approach for consolidation. And therefore, principle itself, I agree with the task recommendation. But in practice, it is quite difficult for us only from your proposed amendment for the daily transaction. It is not possible. And also, IAS 21's description itself is not very straightforward. So therefore, I would recommend to have a little more work to make clear by using the example and a little further clarification for the keeping balance of the correct amount of CTA.
All right. I don't have a vote, but I'll express my view anyway, because I think this is a subject that I'm completely indifferent to. I wouldn't even bother to recycle at all. I'm not sure what the incremental value is of being precise about determining the actual amount of a gain or loss that's arisen on a translation. and feeding that through current P&L, identifying it separately, whether that makes any difference to an investment decision whatsoever. So I would have preferred not to recycle at all, if that was a possibility. I know that that's very offensive in some countries around the world, but I don't see any benefit of doing this. I'm also concerned about the amount of time and the number of people around the table who've requested more time for the staff to work on being more precise, more definitive on how to calculate a number that I feel is irrelevant. Perhaps, Patricia, you have a different view and you disagree with me and you find this frantically useful and you couldn't possibly make investment decisions without knowing what was going to be recycled.
I don't think recycling is ever useful.
So if that is the decision, it's okay because, you know...
No, that isn't a decision. I'm going to put it to the vote here in a moment, but from what I've heard, the majority of you like the staff recommendation.
Yeah.
You all want far more detail in how to apply it.
No. You misunderstand.
No. I listen to everybody's comments. Now, carry on.
Yeah. And actually, I do not recommend to make clearer rules because that makes confusion. And I think it's really impossible to make clear everything about CTA. So if that is the case, of course, I think it is a possibility that we forget about recycling of CTA. That is another solution. So such kind of discussion should be made when we discuss this CTA issue.
All right. Now, more comments, please, from around the table, because time is marching by. This is the third time we've discussed it at this meeting. What I've heard is that you want to pursue the staff recommendation to use the absolute reduction to clarify in some areas when or if not a proportional change in an interest should be accounted for, or at least that should trigger the recycling of that, to give some examples on how we're going to operationalize that and to bring this back as an annual improvement at the next meeting, where you would then confirm that this is something that is an annual improvement and recommend to the board that they make this change. So that's, I think, what the staff is proposing, what comments I've heard from many of you around here. So can I ask if anybody objects to proceeding to an annual improvement using the staff recommended approach, which is any absolute reduction in CTA will result in recycling. Any absolute reduction in the interest will result in recycling. Two, four, five object. Yep.
I have, my recommendation would be that we drop this from the agenda and we don't proceed with it at all and just not address the issue for the reasons you've given.
And we're unable to reach a consensus.
Well, and I wouldn't proceed because I'm not sure it's worth our time proceeding on.
Joanna?
I agree. It's just not worth proceeding. And I have to admit that the concept of not recycling was one that I didn't dare raise, but I wholeheartedly agree with you. If we could get to a position where we actually said don't recycle, that is by far the best solution as far as I'm concerned. But I didn't think that was within our purview to be able to make that recommendation, which is why I didn't say anything before. But I just think we should drop the whole thing.
It's not one of our agenda criteria, but perhaps it ought to be. Guido?
Well, I see the problems, and I see that more work has to be done, but this issue has practical importance. There is divergence in practice, and as much as I would like to transfer myself in a world where IS21 doesn't exist, I'm a realist, and I know that 21 exists, and that there is something that is called CTA. And how can we then say, well, the best thing would be if we would not recycle it? I would ask the same question for proportionate reductions. Is that of importance for an investor decision? Is it important whether you transfer something from one functional currency geography to another one? I think yes, it makes sense. IIS is not the only GAAP that uses this accounting, so there must be some thinking behind that. So I think we should address it, but I wholeheartedly think what Jean said, we need some practical solutions, because this, otherwise this is going to be a nightmare to calculate this issue. I don't think that the solution is as easy as Scott just said, because I think that would be the wrong answer, simply going, there's a reduction by 10%, because it sometimes really depends on where the CTA comes from. But I think we need to come up with a practical solution, otherwise it's a nightmare for the users.
I hear what you're saying, and whilst the majority might have agreement with your view, with five people who object, then that to me is that it's a clear signal that we can't reach consensus and that there's no point in pursuing the matter any further. So the items drop from the agenda and no guidance to anybody. Jan, thank you very much for all your hard work, and thank you for being so patient and waiting to present your paper. We look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you.
And if April can join us at the table now, we'll go on to agenda paper lucky number 13. An issue that we had discussed at a